Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
I want to talk to you about the importance and the power of having your vision, a vision from God, a dream, a vision, restored, and the power of a vision-driven life. That without a vision, one scripture says, people perish. Without a vision, another translation said, they go unrestrained. They get unfocused with their life, and it goes off because they're not focused on where they're supposed to be focused. And this is a remarkable story about a man that we've all heard about all of our lives, but I want you to see it from a little different view today. Judges chapter 15, verse 1. After a while, in the time of the harvest, it happened while Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, "Let me go into my wife and into her room." But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, "I thought you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion, to your best friend," one translation says. "Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead." And Samson said to them, "This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them." This is so important to the story, what I just read to you, to the story of Samson. And it really will revolutionize how you view the whole story of Samson just in those quick scriptures. And here's why. Samson fell in love with a Philistine girl. And when he fell in love with her against his parents' wishes, he married her, and he had to go off. And when he came back for the honeymoon, her Philistine father had given her to his best friend. Now, what's interesting is Samson hadn't fought any Philistines up to this point, but the thing that triggered in him a tremendous hatred for the Philistine people was this incident, because the very next verse says that the moment that this happened and his father-in-law, who was a Philistine, gave his Philistine wife away to somebody else, he said, and I quote, "Don't blame me for what happens from this point forward to the Philistines." It's really amazing that an attitude, a root of bitterness got in Samson, a resentment to the Philistines that became so real to him that an angry spirit came on him, and he began to kill Philistines and do amazing feats against them. But it all was triggered by the fact that this woman, who was a Philistine, had broken his heart. From that day forward, when we first read of Samson in the scripture, he has a focused life. His parents are visited by an angel, and they give his assignment, and they tell his parents he is going to be separated and consecrated unto God. His parents knew and saw something special and gave him and raised him with a Nazarite vow to not allow a razor to touch his hair or to drink wine or alcoholic beverage or to ever touch a dead thing. He was focused. He was disciplined. He had a vision for his life. God had a vision for his life, and everything was going just like God planned and just like his vision for his life that God gave him was taking him. And then he gets a division. Because this is how the enemy works. God has a vision for your life, but then the enemy comes and tries to bring a division to break your focus off of the vision that God has for your life. And when he got the division, he began to, from that point forward, when his heart was broken, bitterness got in his heart, he developed a roaming eye, we would call it. And you read over and over and over, he's getting involved with women, with prostitutes, with Philistine girls and prostitutes, because the enemy has successfully caused his eyes to roam. Have you ever seen, maybe you girls have dated a guy with a Roman eye. You're talking to him and a girl walks by and his eyes are roaming. And if he's good, he acts like he's got something in his eye, but he doesn't have anything in his eye. And it's not good because the focus is broken. The vision of where he's going and his attention is broken by a division. And that's how the enemy does it. A painful experience broke his focus. He was filled with bitterness and he was fighting for all the wrong reasons. He became so resentful, so angry because of unresolved issues of a past marriage. A bitterness got in him and he couldn't shake it off and he couldn't just move on with his life. And it's bad when you allow present decisions and you start making present decisions off historical pain. And that's when you get in trouble, is when you're making your contemporary decisions off of historical pain that has happened in your life. And that's exactly what Samson began to do. He started looking back and he never got over what happened with his first wife. What doesn't get healed will kill. If you don't get healed from past issues, it'll turn and come back around and try to kill you. Kill the vision. Kill the dream. Kill the plan for what God has ahead of you. Divert your vision and you move from vision to division and you get roaming eyes. And I'm not just talking about for temptation things, but I'm talking about it's a broken focus that the enemy's after, because if he can break your focus, then you're off. You're just off. It doesn't matter what he uses to do it. And many times he'll use past pain to do that. He had a painful moment that created a division of vision. And he had an anger, an underlying anger in his spirit. And I would say to any of you who are single listening to me today, if you are a young lady, don't marry a angry man. If he's angry and he's mad and he's mean, don't anger him. I would say to any of you girls, or men, don't marry an angry, finger-snapping, head-popping woman who is angry and upset. Because if you do, you are taking on something that only God can fix. Only God can fix that stuff. Only God can fix past stuff in their life. And if they're making you think they're talking to you, and they're talking to their last husband, they're talking to the person that they're still mad at and hadn't got victory and healing from, and you got 4 or 5 people living in your house and you don't even know it. It's serious. There's one vision, and then there's division. You see, the enemy knew that his weakness was because he was hurt by that Philistine girl, and so the Philistines hired another Philistine girl. They knew it was a weak spot. They knew that's where his anger was simmering. That's why he was so angry against them and attacking them. And so they said, well, let's raise up another girl. And they did. They found a girl named Delilah. And it's not just lusting for Delilah. He loved Delilah, the scripture said. She's trying to kill him, but he loved Delilah. His attitude was, because when you read it, she kept doing stuff and he knew she was no good for him. And he knew after the first time, you know, trick me and mess around, do whatever you're going to do. But again and again and again. And have you ever seen somebody dating somebody and you know it's not right, but they say, I'm going to make this one work. I think what happened to Samson is because the last Philistine girl broke his heart. He said, whatever I have to do, I don't care how bad it is, I'm going to make this one work. And he wouldn't. Even though she was trying to kill him, he wouldn't let her go. And he had the attitude, I can handle this. And many of you think you can handle it, and you're playing with fire. You're playing with dynamite. The smartest thing you can do sometimes is admit that there are some things in life that are too much for you to handle. As mighty as Samson was, you never get so mighty that there are some things you shouldn't just run from. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how mighty you are. I don't care how strong you are. There's some things you don't debate and argue over. You run from. That's why I love Joseph, because Joseph was gifted and Joseph was talented and Joseph was anointed and Joseph was spiritual. But when Potiphar's wife tried to get him to go to bed, the Bible said he ran and fled from her. Now, here's strong Samson saying, I can handle it. And some of you are saying, you're doing things and got things in your life, and you're saying, I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle that bottle. I can handle that alcohol. I can handle the drugs. I can handle that pornography. I can handle the flirtation. I can handle this. I can handle that. And God says, you can't handle sin. Sin's gonna get you. It'll make you think you're handling it. But just when you think you've got it all under control, it has a way of coming out and biting you. It's the same old story. And there are people I'm preaching to right now through television, through the internet. There are people sitting live in this room, and you got stuff going on that you know is not right. And you're saying to yourself, I can handle it, when you ought to be running for your life from it. Because here's the deal. The enemy's trying to get you diverted from the vision God has for your life so that you can get over here and he can mess you up, and you need to run from it. You can't handle it. He ran. He didn't argue. Joseph didn't argue with the girl. He didn't debate with the girl. He didn't try to witness to the girl. He said, I know me, and this is not smart for me to be in this bedroom by this girl's bed and her trying to rip my clothes off. And he ran. That plain enough? You can't handle it. Sometimes there's some things you need to run from. She kept pressing him. The Bible said she pressed him daily for his secrets. What's your secret? What's the secret source of your power? And she said to him in Judges 16 and 15, how do you say you love me? And your, notice the wording, heart is not with me. Because when you give your secrets to someone, you give your heart to someone. And the Bible said that she pressed him daily, and his soul was vexed unto death. He told her all his heart, the scripture said. The covenant was not in his hair, it was in his heart. The hair was the outward sign of the inward covenant he made with God. And when he told her all his heart, then she cut his hair. Stop giving your heart to everything that blows in your ear. Just because he blows in your ear and tells you you're beautiful, if you give him your heart, guard your heart with all diligence. You can fall in love with the wrong person. You can get messed up real quick. There's vision, then there's division and roaming eyes. And here's the point, that if he can get you in love with what you can't handle and you think you can handle, then it moves from vision to division to no vision. Because when she got his hair cut off and he had no strength, they plucked his eyes out. He went from vision, I know where I'm going, I can do it, God told me I can do it, and I'm going to do it, I'm headed on a bright future, to division, roaming eyes, I can handle it, I can handle it. It overwhelmed him, as sin always does. He's off track, and then he lost completely his vision. No vision. Plucked his eyes out. This is not a game. The enemy is after your vision. He messes people up all the time. And this is the most important point I'm about to make. We picture Samson with muscles. I do. When I hear Samson, I think muscles, ripped, buffed. Only much more. Don't you see him one? Can I ask you a question? If he was ripped and he was buffed and he had muscles and big old neck and all that, why did she ask him four different times, "What is your secret to power?" I think that's absolute proof because, the natural answer would be he's got muscles. That's why he's whipping the Philistines. She says four times, "What is your secret? What is your secret? What is your secret?" Apparently, there was nothing about his physical body that made sense to the success that he was having over his enemy. Apparently, he had a body like Pee Wee Herman, but he could fight like Rambo. Come on. Why would you ask what is your secret if you're walking around? It was nothing. I think he probably looked a lot like me. But when the Spirit of God came on him, that was his secret. Let me tell you, when you're anointed when people look at you and see you succeeding and they scratch their head and they say, "I don't get it. They're not that talented. They're not that cute. They're not that good. Look, why did they get the deal? Why did that happen to them? You know, there's a lot of people that are a lot more qualified, but you're just anointed. And if you're anointed, you can do it." The amazing thing is nobody could figure it out. The sign of the anointing on your life is when you can do something you're not supposed to be able to do. You can have stuff you're not supposed to be able to have. You're not qualified enough. You're not gifted enough. You're not talented enough, but you can just do it. Because the anointing of God and the gifting of God is on you to do it. Other people struggle to do it, but you just do it. And that's when you know you're anointed and you're blessed, and it ought to bring joy to your heart. You just know how to build if you're a builder. You just do it. If you're good in math, you're just good in math. But somebody here is good in math. When the anointing is on you, you can just do it. Boy, y'all missed a good chance to shout right there. Paul put it like this. Listen to this. "I can do all things through Christ." Where's my strength come from? "Who strengthens me." He strengthens me to do it. Somebody shout, "I can do it." Somebody shout, "He strengthens me to do it." Hallelujah. So watch. He goes from vision, and I'm almost done, to division, to no vision. But aren't you glad that even for people who mess up, the Bible said after he messed up that one day they were having a party in the temple of Dagon, and they said, "Bring Samson out that we might make sport of him. We might laugh at him." And they took a little boy and led him out by a little boy while he was chained up and blind. And even though he couldn't see on the outside, he went from vision to division to no vision. But suddenly he says to the boy, "I know I can't see outside, but I have envisioned. I see something on the inside. I see God using me on the inside. I see God taking what I've got left and blessing it on the inside. I see myself bringing the devil's house down. If you can put my hands on the pillars of the temple of Dagon, inside I see myself winning. Inside I see myself, after all my past and after all my marriage and messed up and after everything, and I went through vision in a time when everything was beautiful and division, no vision, but God's been working on me, and now I have envisions of success, envisions of victory, envisions of seeing the enemy's plot in my life being defeated. That's the message of the cross. That he can take the person who started out with vision and been through a division, and maybe the enemy devastated you with some past in your pain in your past, and the enemy's had you angry and messed up, and it killed your present vision. But the word of the Lord is he wants to start again. And listen, 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 I want to end with this slogan that somebody came up with. I don't know where this came from, but it's powerful. If you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. Say that with me. If you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. Say it one more time. If you can see, I see myself blessed. I see myself healed. I see myself on top. I see myself victorious. I see myself successful. I see myself anointed. I see myself preaching to many, many, many people. You see it. You envision it. And if I can see the invisible, I can do the impossible. Your strength is inside of you. Greater is he that is in you. The vision is for an appointed time. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. Everybody in this place, I want you to lift up a great praise to God right now. For he's showing you. If he's showing you something, if he's showing you a brighter tomorrow, if he's showing you a marriage that works, if he's showing you a family that's blessed, if he's showing you children that are free from drugs and alcohol, if he's showing you a turnaround in your life, you need to believe in the invisible, and God will do the impossible. Somebody praise him right now. Praise him. Praise him like you believe that what he shows you, he can bring to pass. Envision. Let's stand up on our feet. Take 5 more seconds and lift your hands toward heaven and thank him that even if you've made a bad decision in your life, that God still has a vision, a victory inside of you.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.